Welcome to the latest episode of River City 93. We are back for season 6. It's kind of cool. We've been doing this for 6 seasons now. And I want to say I appreciate all y'all for listening. As you can tell, we have all somewhat coordinated, not for the Oscars, although Kate is mainly here for the Oscars. We're all wearing red. Me and Gabe got on the new jerseys. There's a lot of new exciting things to talk about, and that's what we're doing the preseason show. But first, let me introduce my co-host, starting off, is Mr. Matt Myers. How are you doing, sir?
Doing all right. I decidedly have, you know, old man in the group, old man shirt on, you know, old school Red Army.
There you go. Classics. Yeah. Have you figured out who you're going to get in the back of the jersey yet?
But you need to tell us what numbers people are wearing first.
You will find that out on Saturday. We'll find that out then. Next up, the man who is wearing the same jersey as me that looks good in red, Mr. Gabe. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you saying I look good in red. My wife told me the other day that I'm a winter. So so there's contrary. I'm not sure who to believe now.
Always go with the wife. Always go with the wife. just stay safe. And last but not least, the only person on here that could probably go to a 5-star restaurant and get service right now is Miss Kate. How are you, ma'am?
I'm doing well, coming to you all mid-Oscars broadcast. So I promise I won't react too loudly if there's any upsets. I actually watched a couple of the movies nominated this year, so I've got thoughts.
So let me ask you, like, is there a particular award you're waiting for?
No, I'm waiting to be inevitably disappointed when Oppenheimer wins Best Picture, because it's not. Apologies.
Who should win it?
That's Anatomy of a Fall.
Okay.
I'll say. All
right. You heard it here first. So if Kate ends up flipping the table, you know why.
God, I hope we're not going that long on this.
Yeah, I hope not either. But y'all, let's start off. Should we start off with the roster, how the roster's looking, or should we start off with our preseason stuff? I'm trying to figure out which way to go.
We'll figure out. Roster. All
right. Let's dive into this roster. Okay, so we have a couple of new players to the team since we last done this. So Aiden Bailhart, he's a midfielder coming from Detroit City FC. Arthur Boussois is a forward, signed from Tormenta FC, spent 2 years there. Gil Franca, college player from Delta State University, center back. Pablo Jara, as you all know, he's been a goalkeeper at Tormenta for a little while. Tony Pineda, winger from High Point University. Maxi Sheffield, left back from Central Valley Fuego, didn't play last year, was playing Major League Indoor Soccer? That's not the name of it. Is that the name of it? I think it is.
There's so many different indoor soccer leagues now. It doesn't matter. He's playing indoor soccer.
Okay. Ryan Shallow, goalkeeper, signed from Detroit City FC. And then James Vaughn, midfielder from Wellington United. So if you've been to any of the preseason games, you obviously have seen these players. Let's start off with the new guys. Anyone on this list that interests you so far? Anyone you're looking forward to see play? None of them great. That's great. We got to start.
Yeah, I mean, going into the offseason, I was particularly excited to see for Dara to sign some winger. And you know, looking at the preseason games, Tony Pineda mainly got in during the second half. I'm not sure if he played a first half during the preseason game, but he's super fast, and we have desperately needed some speed on on the wings like that. And so I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing him.
Okay. Matt, Kate, anyone?
Yeah, I mean, I think out of that group, the marquee signing, you know, of the bunch would definitely be Bill Hart. You mentioned he was at Detroit last year. What I think, you know, we'll actually remember him for is being on the 2022 Tormenta team. I think he actually scored at City, at least once at City Stadium, you know, that year as well. I think we still won that game anyway, because that was a good year for us. But you know, he was somebody who's produced in this league, at a high enough level. They got him, noticed, up in the championship. Things didn't work out there for, I haven't bothered to figure out why, but if, it's not anything, injury related, and, I think he's coming in, can be somebody who can be able to add into the, the midfield. I think the challenge is, I don't really know where he fits in the midfield, right now, but I think he's probably the highest quality addition to this group.
Yeah. Fun fact about Bill Hart, at the team meet and greet, he made it known. He was like, oh yeah, I got hurt against Richmond. And then when I came back, I scored my first goal against Richmond. And they got thoroughly booed by everyone there because we didn't want to hear that. That was his fun fact. It was a bad fun fact. Hey, you were there, but is there any player that pops off the list that you're like, ooh, I'm kind of interested in seeing him?
So the first is our friend Arthur, nice and tall. It'll be interesting to see how a forward with height plays into our, strategy going forward, our lack of goals. Obviously, Emmy plays as a target man, but I would not say height is his greatest asset. So it'll be interesting to see how the addition of a tall forward changes, whether or not we're getting more crosses into the air, whether or not that changes set pieces. An interesting addition to the forwards. The second being Mr. Ryan Schello, not so much for his play, but because for anyone who is big onto the Instagram food influencer scene, his girlfriend does have 2 million followers, and I'm very interested to see whether or not we can leverage that to increase the Kickers brand at all. So even if he doesn't see a minute of the field, we'll have to see if Susie can give us a boost on her platform at all. Susie, if you're looking for some podcast partners, you want to shout out River City 93 to your 2 million followers, we wouldn't be mad about it. So shout out Ryan for bringing an asset in terms of his partner to the Kickers family. And I'm very excited to see if that earns any dividends for the Kickers as an organization over the course of the season.
Hey, you said his girlfriend name is Susie, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So look, Susie, I am a bigger plus male. If you need a food taster, if Ryan is not available, please let me know. I like all kinds of food. You're willing to try it in a good name of River City 93. Just putting that out there. All right. So I would say not the only player, I'm probably most interested in is Maxi Sinfeld. As we all know, in Darren's system, he relies a lot on the fullbacks getting up high, providing assist or, kind of creating chances right there. And sometimes they can be left in the window. If you know Maxi is a very aggressive player. From the time of Central Valley Fuego. And I'm just wondering how this is going to work with him and Zaka on here, all on the field at the same time. I'm just interested.
No, I think that is a good point. Like last episode, I made my thoughts known on that signing, but I think if this team's going to have success, he's going to have to be a pretty big contributor because, look at the last couple years. Last year we had Hornsby. Almost anything good in the attack, came when he was getting forward out of there. A year before that, we had Stu back there, splitting time, with Simon. Before that, we had who was before that? Was that the Monty year? Before that, he was running Scotty Thompson out there. The left backs, especially get forward, contribute to the attack, and we've seen when that doesn't, happen, what actually happens, and it's not anything we want to watch.
Yeah, no. So that's the interesting part there. Some of the players that are leaving, on the other hand, well, I kind of give you returning players. You had Ani, Barnathan, Chris Cole, Simon Fitch, Joe Gomero, Becca Howe, Landon Johnson, Zaka Moran, Taylor Dyer, Ryan Sarakowski, Justin Succo, Emiliano Trezaghi, and Neil Vigneault. Also, might want to add Nick Simmons and Gabe Cox on the list, even though both are listed as going to college. I know Gabe just committed to Furman, right? Yeah. So anyone from this returning list? I mean, most of these guys were coming back anyway because they signed two-year deals. So I'll ask the question in this way. Anyone you were expecting to have a better year than last year, given a lot of guys kind of had that drop off in form, injury crisis, things of that nature?
All of them?
Bingo, that's the correct answer.
Right. I mean, nobody should have walked out of last year, been like, I had a good season. Like, I don't care that Neil made, you know, first team all. He didn't deserve that. Let's be honest. He got hot at the right time, and people noticed, and they remembered the last shiny object that they saw. You know, all of his contributions were in a streak where we didn't win a game for half a season. What impact did that actually have on anything? So he's got to be able to, you know, keep his level, but be able to raise the level of those around him. You know, Emmy, stay healthy. You know, the guys in the back, stop dicking around with the ball in the back and, you know, making dumbass mistakes, you know, with it. We could go on and on and on about all the flaws of last year, but I'm tired of talking about last year, so I don't want to anymore.
That's true. Kate, Gabe, anyone that you're looking to have a better year than last year?
I mean, I think in terms of like, I mean, it's probably a little bit of a different question, but someone that could be poised for a breakout is Joao. There was a streak. There's a time there where he was looking really good last year. And I'd love to see how he fits into the midfield with the pieces that Darren added and what that could look like going forward.
I think this year it definitely feels still a bit like a squad in transition because you still have a lot of youth in the regular team in Landon Johnson, Beckett Howell, Simon still very early in his pro career, Joao very early in his pro career. So there's a lot of players who are quite young who are still developing. I don't think we have to hope have not reached their ceiling, but also a lot of seniority that's been brought in the new additions, you know, from the goalkeeper to Maxi to the midfield to, you know, kind of across the field. So it's sort of an interesting mix of players at different points in their career. So I think I'm hoping that a lot of those younger players, we continue to see a positive trajectory and hopefully having the sort of expertise and experience around them in those older, more senior players is a positive influence on that trajectory. So, you know, we might not see the ceiling of a lot of those younger players yet, but I'm hoping that we continue to see that younger core grow. Obviously that means they might move on after, you know, if they impress people at different levels, but that all the younger contingent, especially with the seniority that's been brought in, I'm really hoping to see continued improvement from them on all their positions across the team.
Right. Just to hop in on that.
Yeah.
Simon's 25. Joao's turning 27 in June. They ain't the young guys. Yeah.
There's still a part where he looks at Joao and he looks at somebody. He was like, oh, they're 22. They're 23. They're fine.
But they haven't played pro very long, and there's a big jump there in terms of the physicality, in terms of, you know, the demands week in, week out. So there's mental shift.
I hear you on that one, but nah, I mean, these aren't like your, you know, Landons or, you know, even a few years ago when we had, you know, guys like, you know, Ethan and, you know, Stu and, you know, some of these guys coming in to play for us at 19, 20 years old. You know, these are fully grown men. Like they're who they're going to be.
Yeah. Let's hope not, because we kind of need them a little bit better.
I would say the player that I'm expecting to have a better return season, Justin Succo, because I wrote a whole article on him. And then after that, he went down the toilet. Just because, also, you know, Zaka is 28. He's another one I'm expecting to have a little bit better year. I think his best year on the defense was 2021 when he had 3 assists. Since then, he's only had 1 in the last 2 years combined. But I think Zaka's at his best when he's able to kind of, I wouldn't say be like a deep line playmaker, but get on the ball quick and kind of transition upfield a little bit more. So, yeah, between Zaka and Justin, I'm expecting them to have a better return year, because that's also the key part of this Richmond kicker team. If the CDM can kind of plug up those holes and plug up those gaps, then things don't really go as poorly as they did last year. I'll put it that way. So now we move on to the list of outgoing players. And this is like updated as I can. So if there's any player here that has made a move, I don't know where they are. They might just be a free agent or whatever. So starting off, Colton Belmar, he's a free agent. Matt Bentley's a free agent. Karis Fitzgerald made the transfer to North Carolina FC. Oddly enough, he wasn't even on the bench last night. That's beyond me. Owen Gordon is at Montego Bay, scoring goals down there in the Jamaican Premier League. Michael Hornsby is rumored to be in New Zealand playing there, but I haven't really found out what club or anything. Jake Meacham is a free agent. Eli Mumford is at the University of Pittsburgh playing there. David Olsen is a free agent. William Paquest has retired without any fan notice. It just kind of happened. Luke Pavone is quote-unquote retired. I think he's looking for a club, but not in League One. Ethan Vandercourt Deckard is a free agent. As of now, he's out skiing somewhere. So, you don't have to take long on the outgoing player list, but I don't think there's any player on this list I think the kickers are going to regret not having backside. I mean, for personal reasons, I would have missed Luke, but yeah, I don't think there's any other player on this list I think the kickers are really going to miss this year. What about y'all?
Not really. One guy that, like, I miss the potential of what we saw he could have been in 2022 and then just took a significant downturn in 2023 was Matt Bentley. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to maybe see him get another shot, you know, just because he had such a promising 2022. I was hoping maybe they'd hang on to him and see what happens this year, but it really wasn't. It was bad enough that, like, it makes sense why he moved on. Or why they moved on from him, whatever happened there.
Yeah. There was really nothing for you. I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, there's a hope of, like, maybe you can make it happen, but there's really nothing to really latch on to after, what was it, one goal? And that one goal happened in August?
Yeah, one goal after he got a string of starts with Emmy being hurt. And he just didn't feel like he had a chance to capitalize and really take that, like, be that second guy and perhaps get maybe a move or just more playing time with Richmond, but he did not capitalize on that chance last year. Which was
not at all.
For a lot of reasons.
Not at all. Matt, Kate, anything y'all would add to this? Matt, your face kind of already solves it already.
I just admit, I think Mike Hornsby was one of the only players who did not have a humiliating season last season. And the reason he left was, you know, personal rather than had anything to do with the club. So it's a bit disappointing that they weren't able to retain his services for another year, because he did bring a lot to that position and to the attack when we sorely needed it. But understand it wasn't the right fit. He had other things influencing his decision, but that would be the one actual loss to what we could hang our hat on from last season as a positive.
Yeah, I think Hornsby's the only notable name on there. I mean, Palmquist would have been fine, but whatever. He's a backup goalkeeper. They're a dime a dozen. I mean, realistically, this list should have been longer, and the previous list of guys coming back should have been shorter, but what can you do?
Yeah, so that's how it goes. So those are your players for the 2024 original kickers. So let's move on. Thoughts on preseason. Let's first start off. It was free and open, which is something the kickers front office hasn't done before. The excuse has always been other teams didn't want to put out their preseason information. Like, this is lower league soccer. I don't think anyone's scouting that hard. But yeah, I think me personally, I liked it just because it kind of opened up some goodwill with the front office, the kicker staff. There was a good number of crowds out there. I want to say, I think the GMU one might have had the biggest crowd, if I'm not mistaken, outside of the game at the stadium. But yeah, thoughts on preseason just as a whole. What do you guys take from it? Outside of my main thing is like no one got hurt. That's all I care about, really. But you guys' thoughts on preseason?
Yeah, I mean, it was nice that, you know, they took off the facade of, oh, nobody can come watch preseason games. It's, you know, state secrets and blah, 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 blah. All the absolute nonsense that, you know, they, you know, put out there in the past. It's like, oh, look, nothing bad has happened by letting, you know, the wackos like us, you know, show up and stand on the side of a field for 90 minutes and watch guys, you know, run around and try to, you know, guess and figure out who's who.
Yeah.
The world has not ended. Still think they probably could have done a better or any job of, you know, even just giving scores out after the games. You know, what was going on? Like, there's clearly at least a little bit of a level of interest in these, and, you know, just like, they were good about it when the results were good, let's put it that way. Which leads to my bigger issue with the preseason of not so much the results, but the process doesn't make me, you know, optimistic, but we're probably going to cover that a lot more later on. But good that people, they let people in. Yeah, the test run at City Stadium against Mason, you know, seemed to go well. You know, everything, you know, looking good, you know, infrastructure wise there. So that part was good.
Yeah. Other thing about preseason, I would just say in general, like the signings themselves, like obviously you got teams out here spending big money on like Lexington, Lenox, you know, Madison, getting those big splashy signings. I would say like this group of signings, there's no big like splashy signings that will kind of make you stand where you see and anything like that. But I would say like they seem like more consistent signings. Like last year, we would all agree the issue was this team has so many wingers, but no defenders, or like lack of midfield depth. And I think this year they kind of fixed the issue. Like there's more midfield depth, there's more defensive depth. Yeah, we added a wing or two because we needed to. But the team just feels a lot more balanced than what it did last year.
I'd say the greatest concern outside of goals, which I'm sure we'll get to, was they clearly were still evaluating a lot of players, trialists, whether or not they were from the youth academy or the combine. So as far as I can tell, no players played more than about 35, 40 minutes together across all the matches. Obviously, this is to be expected in preseason. But last year, one of the major things we talked about was lack of midfield chemistry, how the midfield three were kind of being changed out week in, week out without any real opportunity to build chemistry with one another. So, and the biggest issue with that being we basically scored 4 goals and we didn't win any games. So would have liked to see a bit more idea about who the starting 11 might be and actually see them build consistent minutes together to build that chemistry. Obviously it's great that there seems to be a pool of players that they were still evaluating from. We got a little peek behind the curtain and seeing, you know, what sorts of players were getting a look in, but with chemistry leading to a lot of breakdowns and actually scoring goals, wasn't super encouraged by not seeing pretty much any chemistry building across any of the matches at any point.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. So that's pretty much preseason wrap. I mean, the preseason results were they played VCU, they played JMU, GMU, they played someone else in there.
That the amateur team from Alexandria.
Oh yeah, Alexandria Reds.
Loud and twice.
Did y'all see anything about Crown Legacy?
I was looking for that earlier. Nothing from either team, so I don't know if it got canceled or again if they just like I said, they opened it up, but this was an away game. So I don't think even we're dumb or crazy enough to want to go on an away game trip for preseason, but neither team said a peep about it, which is disappointing.
Yeah. So I don't know if the game got played or what. It was kind of like a nasty weekend, so I wonder if both teams were just like, yeah, it's not worth it. Like, we'll just practice at home and call it a day. That's more so preseason wrapped up. I think, like, some of the highlights were, like you said, like, the fans were out there. I know we were drumming at one point. I made it known that we had to protect Neil at all costs. So anyone that got within 10 feet of Neil, we made it known that don't get close to him. I think we all have questions, though. I think we all have questions coming out of preseason, definitely on the end of last season, about what is the team going to look like. So one of the questions I have for y'all, we can kind of discuss this. Who's going to be the starting left winger in this team? I think at every position in the team, we kind of know who's the nailed-on starter. The left wing spot, to me, I'm still like in a toss. So I'm going to throw it out to you guys.
Who are your other 10?
Lena or Landon Johnson?
Well, I don't know if I'd say we know who the locked-in starters are everywhere else. I mean, probably a lot of them, but I think there's a couple questions.
There's more questions, but that left wing spot, I couldn't figure out who to put there. You know, like I think midfield, you pretty much know who you're going to get. 2 out of 3. Striker, right wing, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Ryan Sierkowski getting the start there on the left wing.
I want you to know I forgot all about when I was doing this.
Yeah, I think on Saturday you probably see him starting on the left wing. Just he was there a lot last year, and so wouldn't surprise me if Darren goes with experience to start the year off.
Yeah. Okay. So let me change it up then. So who's your starter? I mean, striker we know is probably going to be Emmy, barring injury, right?
I was going to say, do we know that?
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I said. Barring injury, is probably going to be Emmy, if not Arthur Boussois. Right wing, would you go Bill Hart?
He was there during the preseason.
Yeah. I don't see anyone else really taking that spot, really.
Can he also play in the midfield?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's really more of a midfielder. So if you like put him out on the wings, it's gonna. Yeah, you can probably play it there, but it's one of those like things we've gone to a million times. Like, okay, you can play on the wing. You're not really a winger, but we'll throw you out there anyway. Yeah, the same nonsense has gotten us in trouble before.
Right. So we see that midfield. I'm pretty 2 out of 3. We know it's going to be Neil and Zaka, and then there's a three-way tie between James Vaughn, Suko, and Zhao. And I feel like Suko's probably at the bottom of that list. So it's really between Zhao and James. So who's there? I lean more to probably James to start and then Zhao to come on.
Might depend what you're looking for, two, out of a given game. So I also think we don't need to get in this mindset of there's a clear first 11 and then everyone else, like,
oh no. I'm just going based on like who Darren will probably throw in there, knowing Darren. Like, we know Darren,
Joel, we can
probably name Darren starting 11 for him.
Joel played a ton during the preseason. My guess is that he's going to get that start, so I would anticipate Joel, Neil, and Zaka starting at first. But if it's not Joel, I bet it's James Vaughn,
yeah. And then the back four names itself, pretty much. I don't see anything changing there.
Well, definitely his does not. I don't know if he's ready to start. I think typically he would be him, but I'm interested to see. We haven't really gotten injury. He did get injured in the second to last, and he did not play, and his leg was looking pretty stiff, not full, when he was hobbling around the fields at the GMU match. So, not sure he'll be fit, which maybe not the most ideal to start the season, but at least we have depth.
Yeah. So, I mean, all this being said, like, we're sitting here trying to think of, like, Darren starting 11. But, like, does Darren game model change this all? Because, like, talking to Darren, he made it known that they wanted to be a little bit more high-pressing. They wanted to press a little bit more, be further up the field. But we also know that Darren will, you know, latch on to one stat and use, like, the possession like you did last year. So does Darren change his game model at all, or does he kind of go like, all right, this is what tried and true, this is what tested and works?
When in the last 4 years has Darren changed anything? Come on. How many times did you engineer try to convince us that, oh, next game they're going to, you know, roll out, you know, three in the back. Oh, next game they're going to, you know, roll out.
He did the Lexington game and then immediately went back to a back four.
After 45 minutes.
Right.
Right.
And I had to do a double check to make sure it was a back three, because I was like, there's no way this is happening.
Yeah, so, no, we also know that Darren lies constantly about everything. You know, so, like, you know, oh, you know, we're really, you know, looking to be able to implement this. Same thing as always. We're always looking to implement, you know, I want my identity to always be a, you know, rock and roll soccer sort of thing. And then we saw all that garbage from last year. And even the year before wasn't that much of the, you know, rock and roll, you know, style. You know, how many times did he lie to us last year about, oh, Emmy could probably play next week. Oh, Emmy could probably play next week. I don't think he's going to be playing next week. Even he's still recovering from that same injury. You know, so take anything that he's, you know, says to you all at any of these events with a giant grain of salt, because he's not alone. Every coach lies when they talk, you know, to media, because they're control freaks and they think that if one little bit of information gets out, the world's going to fall apart. Guess what? No information got out last year. Your world fell apart as it was. Maybe try something new.
There you go. I mean, just the thoughts on it. My hope is that he will look at things last year and be like, all right, something got to change, because if not, this year is not going to go well for anyone. And it can be very quick that the Darren Sawalski reign comes to an end very sooner than when it starts, because he cannot start off on a poor start. And we'll get into that later, but like the kickoff of the season and everything like that. But
the irony of this being that with the attacking signs that have been made, I feel like it actually makes sense for a 4-4-2.
Oh, right? Yeah. Because 100%.
Arthur only playing center forward ever, right? Yeah. I don't want to imagine a world where they try to turn him into a winger as well. I think Sierkowski's really more of a forward and a two up front. You know, Emmy, he can probably play fine in a two as well. We actually have more than like four midfielders, you know, this year, so you could probably play a 4-4-2 if you really wanted to. You know, pull like, you know, Pineda, maybe Landon into a midfield type role. So, you know, Bill Hart, you know, and that might be a better way to get him onto the field with Neil at the same time. So I could see where 4-4-2 could work. I just have no faith whatsoever that'll actually happen.
Yeah. Gabe, Kate, anything from y'all on that? Do y'all think it's going to be more of the same, or is Darren trying to change it up?
No, I mean, judging by the preseason, it was heavy possession, difficulty scoring goals, scoring a goal in every preseason game, except the JMU game, to be fair. But yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be that heavy possession style again, and I don't think we'll see much adjustment from that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm really hoping that the change from last season is not purely personnel, because personnel played a large role in the lack of success in the system, but the system and the league's personnel are of a than the simply the players employed by the Richmond Kickers last season. So I'm hoping that we are not fed the line that we've brought in new players, so we're going to now be able to play this system. We, you know, he's made the signings he needs, or he's upgraded in particular areas, because none of us have been particularly impressed by the signings altogether. The records that they're bringing in are not necessarily indicative that they're going to be able to run the league in this possession style. So we've all called for changes, and I'm really hoping that simply new personnel is not the change that we're all now going to be presented with as to why this system is now going to work. Because yeah, we all saw those preseason matches. They were playing college opposition. They were playing the only match that looked to be a comfortable win was against literal amateurs. So I did not come out of this preseason feeling particularly enthusiastic about the system or about the personnel upgrading in the positions we needed. So,
yeah. No. I guess the other thing we probably need to talk about is, does this team have the ability to get over the hump? You know, I think it, what was it, 22 points dropped from winning positions last year, or in total, I forgot how to say exactly when, but obviously a lot of points dropped. This team had the ability to be consistently inconsistent at the worst moments, having one good half, having a bad second half, having a bad first half, having an okay or decent second half, you know, not being able to string together multiple wins, clean sheets. Can they clean that up this year? Can they get on the right foot and get started?
I think that's
a little bit more mental toughness.
I think that stat about them dropping 22 points from winning positions is like the one thing that happened last year that gives me hope about this year, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like if they can learn how to hang on to a lead and like play 90 minutes, and perhaps the depth signed in the midfield could be helpful with that. But, I mean, if you hang on to half of those points, you hang on to 11 out of those 22 points, you're looking at fighting for a playoff spot. So I'm hopeful that, you know, they're able to play a full 90 this year as the season goes on, right? Because the first half of the year, like, we're sitting in fourth and had lost three games in our first 11, I think. And so, you know, it was a good, like, it looked okay, and then just the wheels came off entirely.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I always think that consistently consistent is, you know, a paradoxical statement to begin with, because they were remarkably consistent last year. You play decent to good in the first half. We're all, you know, in our halftime, you know, thoughts on our, you know, various social media platforms talking about, okay, this looked decent. You know, I kind of liked the look of this. Return, but ... And we all knew exactly what the but it would be. It's like, you know, can they actually, you know, keep this up, you know, for another 45 minutes? And, you know, it became almost a running joke at a certain point, unfortunately. So I think some of that is, look, I have no idea how that happened last year. It has to be some kind of like mentality, you know, sort of thing, because just how otherwise. So you would hope that gets cleaned up.
I hope it does. I hope it does. I don't think I can go through another just, all right, we scored, but we're going to let up two goals in the second half just horribly. And partially this is as well because I think this team, for most part, I would say the first part of the year was clean sheet or bust. Like, they were having amazing defensive performance, but you knew it was like hanging on by the thread, like a thread. And the second half of the season, they just couldn't do it. They just couldn't they just couldn't get a clean sheet, get over the hump, and everything like that. So I'm hoping that they can. I'm also hoping that there's a little bit more mental fortitude. Like, this team just, at certain points, seemed like they folded in on themselves. Like, if something didn't go right, you know, a goal was scored, you kind of saw the hanging of the heads, the frustration kind of bleed out on the field. And I'm just hoping that there's a little bit more, like, mental fortitude, like, able to ride on those rough moments, because it's going to happen, you know. You can have a clean sheet in every match. I'm just hoping this team has that ability to kind of get over it and get it going again. So we'll see. We will see. But, God, let's transition a little bit. I guess we could go ahead and kind of – do you guys want to give your thoughts on preseason awards? Like, who do you think will – not preseason awards, I should say, but who do you think will be, like, the offensive MVP by the end of the year? Or do you guys want to hold off on it?
Yeah, let's jump into it. Why not?
All right. Let's go ahead. Let's jump into it. So, offensive MVP. Who would be the offensive MVP by the end of the year? Who do you think it would be?
We're doing want or think will be? Because I think those are two different questions.
Say it one more time. My bad.
Are we doing want or think will actually will be?
Who do you think it will be?
Okay. So offense?
Yeah.
Emmy. Because okay. It's always Emmy. Because he's the one guy who knows how to kick the ball under the goal. That's proven that consistently. And that's the most important part of the game. And the part that, you know, we saw when he's not out there, you know, it's kind of a house of cards last year. So, you know, again, I said my piece on, you know, it was not to, you know, begrudge Neil his performance. But without Emmy, like, the offense mostly came to a screeching halt.
Yeah.
You know, so that's not most valuable. I don't know what is. It'd be great if somebody else actually steps up and, you know, actually takes it away from him, but I'll believe it when I see it. Short of injury, of course.
Yeah, sure. Okay, Gabe, who do you guys want to be offensive MVP?
It's gotta be Emmy. I mean, he needs to score goals again. And if he scores goals, he will be the offensive MVP.
Right. Simple enough. I like it.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to continue to bang on drum for Chandler O'Dwyer. Because I think if I say enough that he plays forward, Darren will forget he ever tried to play him at center back. And we can just forget that era altogether. We have to talk so much about how his goals to minutes ratio at forward was probably one of the best in the league, so that we never have to see the Chandler O'Dwyer at center back experiment ever again.
God, I can't. I'm going to give my mouth closed.
Fourth overall on goals.
That's tied bad.
For fourth overall.
Bad. Two. Bad.
Two.
That's bad. For me, I'll go Neil. You know, I think Neil was one of the highest chance creators last year. And I think if everything gets going and if we have some forwards that can put the ball in the back of the net outside of just Emmy, I think Neil has a high chance of doing that and rising up that assist leaders chart. So that's my hope. That is my hope there. I still got hope for Neil.
Can I go with my option two here?
Yeah,
and again, this is just me being obnoxious. Ani, because what was our number one play in last year? Long throw.
Do we really consider a long throw? Is it more like of a slant over the middle that he throws? Like, just given how the distance.
How's that not a long throw?
It's a very long throw.
Maybe so. All right. Defensive MVP. Who would be the defensive MVP for this team?
I think I'm going to go with Dakota.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to.
Newly married as well.
Newly married, you know, coming into the season with a lot of confidence. You know, you hope he You hope he can take that to the field.
Yeah. For me, I'm going to go Simon Fitch is my defensive MVP. I think this is the breakout year for my man. I think he's going to have – I'll go at least 3 assists. I think he's going to have some good assists out there and maybe 2 goals scored. That's what I'm going to do. Kate, Matt, who do y'all have?
I think Simon as well. One of the things I've critiqued about his game is his crossing in the air. I did see some quality aerial crosses from him preseason game against GMU. So if he's able to add that to his game, that's really helpful from an outside back. And not what I thought he was particularly strong at. I think his crossing on the ground has been very good, very accurate. But having both dimensions in his game, I think could be very helpful, especially now that we might, again, possibly have a taller target man in the box for those crosses to land on the forehead of. So if that trend continues to be Drew, if that's something he's been working on, I'm really excited to see that addition to his toolbox.
Yeah, I think with Gabe, I think it's likely it's probably best for us if it's Dak, because I think he brings the best combination of defending, but also distribution out of the back for us, I could see the argument for some other guys, but I think, things are going to be going better for us if it's him. I think in actuality, just because of how people end up, rating defender of the year, type of things, Maxey, it's because I think he's going to be the most likely to put up offensive stats. But what I think is actually going to be the real answer. It's a combination of I hope it's the real answer, but I also hope it's not in any way. Pablo, compare most years, Akira to last year Akira, right? That's probably, a few extra losses that weren't draws or wins.
Yeah.
In there. I'm not 100% sold that Hara is, really the guy we need him to be, but he's going to be the guy for us this year. And if he can work his way into being defensive MVP, that I think that'll prove well for where this team is heading. But at the same time, I hope he's not, because I hope we're not getting peppered with shots where he's racking up stats.
what was it saying? Like a goalkeeper. The less you speak about a goalkeeper, usually the better the game is. So hopefully he has a lot of quiet games this year. So the next one we got after
What do you got? You're not getting out of this.
I did it. I said mine. I said Fitch.
I completely blanked on that.
I know you did. See, I gave mine. All right, newcomer of the year. Who will be the newcomer of the year? Matt, since you called me out, we'll start with you.
It needs to be Bill Hart, right? I think, with the way this team has been built, we need somebody who can, help, with offensive punch. And if it's not him, either somebody else just, absolutely, pedal to the floor, standing out, or he didn't bring it the way he needed to bring it, right? So I think, with the proven pedigree, in this league, we need it to be him and not a defensive guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Kate. I'm going to say Pineda would be great if we could have another winger out of High Point University become an important player for this team. I think that would be wonderful. Obviously, he's new, he's untested in the league. But if we're picking from an idealistic perspective and not a practical perspective, that would be who I would hope would be the breakout new player of the season, because I think had a lot of success from creative wingers from High Point. So if we could run that back or run it again, pick up another 17 assists, that I think the team could really use that.
Okay.
I love that answer, Kate, but I am going to agree with Matt and say that I really, really need it to be Bill Hart. And part of the reason is because I also think he's going to be our assists leader this year. So I don't know if we were going to do assist leader or not, but I think he is that kind of marquee chance creator, and we really need him to create quality chances for us this year.
All right. I got nothing to add to that. I think it's Bill Hart. I think if he can have a pretty big season, scoring some goals, getting some assists, just being a good contributor on our right wing when we haven't had one in a long time, I think it would be positive. So matter of fact, Gabe, I'm gonna toss it over to you so you can do our overs and unders, buddy. You ready?
Yeah, let's do this. All right, so I stole this idea from my favorite Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. So I'm also a baseball fan. But basically what we've got is we've each chosen a couple of topics to choose an over or under with. We should write these down, by the way. So after the season is over, we will be able to see how wrong we are, which will just be a lot of fun. But we've each chosen a couple of things to choose the over or the under on. And as the season goes, we'll kind of keep track. And once the season is over, on a post-season show, we can determine and see how we did. So I'll list one, and then we'll each choose over or under for it.
All right.
That's good. All right. So let's start with, I feel like this one's fun. Let's start with Elliot's. Elliot, you got to list a number here, but over under on red cards for Maxi, Zaka, and Ani. What's the line?
All right, so the line is at 4.
Okay.
We're under. We're at 4.
Under. Easy under.
I'm going to take the under on that one, too.
Okay.
I'm going to manifest the under.
Awesome.
Okay.
All right.
So which one of them, clearly you think at least one of them is picking up 2.
Yeah, who's doing that?
Zaka. I think Zaka gets one straight red and then the other one's accumulator.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's my bet. All right.
All right. Matt.
So
this one I feel like is pretty depressing, but over or under 6.5 wins.
Okay, well, last year's number was 6, right?
Yeah.
That was in the 32 game season. It's a 22. Well, I'm not counting the in season tournament in here. So out of the 22 regular season games, 6.5.
I'll go over. I'll put it at, I'll say 8.
You just have to say over or under. You don't have to put a number.
Oh, on okay. It. Yeah, I say over.
Yeah. I mean, you can, but there's just no rule you have to. You're just betting the line that I set.
Yeah. We could do bonus points for a specific number. It could be fun. But Kate, what do you have?
I'm going to say over. Again, manifesting.
Manifest. There you go. Positivity. Yeah. That's what we're trying to be this year. Positives.
Yeah, Matt, I didn't think about it being the 22 regular season games, which did make me second guess here. But if I'm going to remain consistent with my standings prediction that I put out there, totally inspired by some other random League One fan, I'll take the over as well, but barely.
Okay.
What did I?
All right. Well, maybe I set the line a little low then, but yeah, I thought that was, you know, a good number because, again, you know, shorter season, but even the regular season title winning season, that was a 30 game season. The team only won 14 of those games, so
yeah,
you know, 6 out of 20, you know, two, you go 6 wins, you know, 8 draws, 8 losses. That's probably a playoff, you know, yeah, record, you know, this year, and still only 6 wins.
Yeah,
it's gonna be so interesting with that. Yeah, I think it's a good line. Yeah, that's not a bad line. It's not.
What are you taking there, Matt?
Just to be different, I'll take the under. I don't want to be right, but it's not fun if we're all agreeing.
All right. We'll go to mine next, which is my first one is Emmy scores over or under 14.5 goals throughout all 32 games.
30 games.
I'll go over. I'll go over.
You want to take the over?
I'll take the over.
I'm taking under.
My goal comes back.
I'm taking under. I don't want this is not a manifest. But especially if he gets a late start to the season, he didn't play in preseason, getting his legs back, getting meaningful, how long it might take to get back to full 90. Hard to say.
Yeah, I'll take, you said 14.5 is what you said it at. I mean, I'll take the under on that because I would still take 14 out of 30, still a pretty good, you know, rate of return. And that would still be an under. I'm sure he'll probably miss a game, you know, somewhere, if not at the front end of the season, maybe somewhere, you know, later on. And
paternity leave. He's got paternity leave coming up during the season.
Ooh.
He can just take practices off. He doesn't need to take games off.
I'm also going to take the under. I think he scored 10 last year and 18 the year before that. So, I think it's a decent line, but I'm going to go under on that one. All right. Elliot, back to one of yours here. Over or under 10 assists coming from the midfield?
I have to go over. I refused. We can't go through this again at the Kickers organization. Somebody has to.
Are the wingers midfielders or are the wingers forwards?
I just consider the midfield. I didn't include the wingers in on this.
Okay. All right. In that case, I'll take the under.
I'm going to go with Kate, and I'm also going to take the over because we need it. Elliot, what about you?
I would take the under, but just slight. Like, I'm hoping for at least 8 because last year I think they had 6.
Yeah. All right, Matt, you've got, and this one is much more hopeful, 5,000 over under average attendance.
Oof.
I think we were at 4714 last year.
Yeah.
It's somewhere around there. Yeah. I think it was 47 something.
Adding an additional 300.
Why not?
I think it's very doable.
The game's doable enough. Which way are you going, Gabe?
I'm going to take the over.
I might take the under. I'm interested to see if the W League efforts to draw crowds has any impact, of like what the crossover impact is on attendance fatigue, especially in that 8-week stretch. I'm not saying I'm hoping it will, but it's the first time they tried to have 2 marquee teams sharing a stadium, sharing an overlapping season. So there's the possibility that there'll be some attendance fatigue. splits over that stretch.
Yep. Elliot?
I'll take the under. I think like we might hit 46, but I don't think.
You think it's going to go down next year from that?
Yeah, just slightly. Just a little, not incredibly a lot, but just like it'll be right there, teetering.
Yeah. You think we'll rest in like that mid 4,000s?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Magic. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go under too. It feels like every single year we get to get ruined by the weather, you know, once, at least once. And that'll probably be enough to, you know, just do the number. Yeah. So it's hopeful. I think we'll probably get more than half the games over 5K, but I think we'll just get absolutely, you know, cratered by, you know, some storm that'll give us like a 2K or something. And
yeah,
it's going to be tough to get past.
Should we clarify that these are league games and not like
they're all the season ticket package?
All right, so all games.
Yeah.
Whatever they say their number is at the end of the year, I guess. this is my last one, and you guys each, Matt's got two more, and Elliot's got one more. Kate, if you want to throw some out there, please do. But my last line is that the Kickers finish over or under the playoff line. So basically, do they make the playoffs?
It is expanded playoffs this year.
I was going to say, as a reminder, it is eight out of 12 teams in the playoffs.
Over.
Elliot's taking the over.
Let's take it over.
All right.
I have to say over. I refuse to put the energy out there that out of 12 teams, 8 of which finish in the playoffs, the Kickers will not do that. That is a fate too terrible to consider.
I'm not seeing it right now. I look at this roster. Where are they better than they were last year?
I would argue defensively, just depth wise, center back wise, like.
You think Franck is going to be that big a difference maker at center back? He's going to push somebody out.
I think that having Guy is the third center back is a lot more reliable than us having O'Dwyer and Cole at center back, and you can give Audie and Dak a rest. Like we weren't able to last year. And also in midfield, the depth is there.
You think O'Dwyer's not the number three center back?
I swear to God, if he's the third choice center back.
The same.
That's the energy we don't need.
I don't know. I'm not seeing it yet. Again, love to be wrong on this, you know, later on, but. You know, what I saw in the preseason, like that team, these guys were struggling to create anything in the attack, you know, against, you know, college teams. And yeah, the college teams, they're used to playing with each other. There's still a bunch of college players, most of whom won't sniff anything. And these were not like upper echelon college teams either.
Yeah. I'm going to take the over on it. And mainly because of the depth in the midfield, like you were saying, Elliot, and a little bit of the depth at center back. I think this year we don't lose 22 points from winning positions. Now, the trick here is we have to get into winning positions, and so hopefully that actually happens. All right, Elliot, the last one from you here is over under. This will take a little bit of math. But over under 2,000 combined minutes for the kids. And you've got four of the kids here listed. Beckett Howell, Landon Johnson, Cox, and Nick Simmons.
All right, so let me explain. Well, so
we technically don't know that Cox and Simmons are on the team, right? They're not announced on the team because we know they're on the team. The team's just, you know, dragging their feet for no good reason on announcing them.
Yeah. For the sake of this, let's assume that they are
right.
And if we have to go back and make a change, we can make a change.
So last year for context, Hal played 435 minutes, Johnson played 324, Simmons played 123, and Cox played 66, which all together is right under 1,000 minutes. So given that Hal and Johnson have signed, I'm projecting them to play over 2,000 combined minutes.
Which means that they need to play, each of them needs to play an average of over 16.66 minutes per game.
Yes.
Would we all, could we also include any of the other Academy kids, such as Rec Specs, into the equation, or are we going to cap it at the four named?
That's interesting. Do you guys?
I think we add in any other Academy guys.
Yeah.
We get signed. So if Sneddon somehow gets a minute or two, in goal, throw him in there.
I think it's fair.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna take the over. Because I saw Gabe Cox score two goals in the preseason.
Shout out to his dad.
And his dad, shout out to Mike Cox, my favorite player's dad out of any of them that I've met.
Yeah.
I won't say, I've only met one. Yeah. It's him. He's a nice guy. All right. Kate, what you got?
I'm going to go over. And I'm really also hoping that this over is not because our season is over in June and we get a play the kids excuse for the rest of the season. But they're given meaningful minutes. Yeah. Actually help them improve as players and not thrown out as fodder to the Wolves because our season is over midsummer.
Yeah, you're hoping they contribute.
I'm hoping that it's done constructively for their own growth trajectory, not as a marketing tactic to sell more tickets.
Matt, what you got?
This is a good one because it's tricky because I think it's going to depend on how much you think Landon's going to play. Cause I think he's going to carry the overwhelming weight of these minutes because Beck is going to be reserve defender. Right. And we know that Darren's going to run Maxey into the ground. I mean, if Elliot thinks he'll probably serve at least one suspension along the way. So there's at least 90, right there. Unless something changes, Gabe's disappearing halfway through the year. So that affects things a little bit, but there might be other Academy kids coming in. I want to go under just because I think the combination of Pineda, I feel like every single year we get some kind of signing in May or June. I want to just project out now that it's going to be a left winger because that's, as we mentioned earlier, that seems to be the big question spot right now, so that might be where they look to band-aid something in with a veteran. So it might be close, but I'm going to lean under on this.
Okay.
Elliot?
I'm going over. I'm thinking Johnson. I'm assuming, me personally, I think Johnson's going to have the most minutes consumed in this, out of this group. Simmons and Cox might be leaving to go to college. I think something might change with Simmons.
Simmons is only a junior this year, I thought.
Is he? I thought he was a senior.
You could be right. I might be
mixed up. It keeps throwing me off because he's already committed to UVA, and I just keep thinking, like, well, he's going to be graduating, so maybe not. If Simmons doesn't leave this year, then you got another year of Simmons. Beckett Howe, I'm assuming he will probably get some starts there at the fullback spot. To be funny, I could have thrown Simon Fitch in it because technically he is still considered a youth player, but I didn't because, he's not really a youth player anymore. But, I'm going over 2,000 minutes. I think Johnson will probably be the bulk carrier of this. That's my thought.
All right.
Yeah, look, just looking it up right now. So unless Top Drawer Soccer is wrong, Nicholas Simmons, class of 2025.
Okay. Okay, so yeah.
Could you look up Gabe too? while you're doing that. Matt has two more here. I'm gonna add one that could be fun, but Matt's got over under 4.5 goals for our second highest scorer.
Over. I don't care who it is. Over.
Kate?
I'm going to say over because he did sign what should be a goal-scoring forward in Arthur Boshua. So not really interested in having another forward who is unable to score goals, being their literal one job. So, yeah, I'm going to say I hope that we signed a forward to score goals and we set them up to score goals.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over as well. And Matt?
First of all, looking up Gabe's stuff, can't find it as definitively, but he's already on transfer mark somehow, and they have an upcoming transfer of August 1st, 2024, to Furman. So I'm guessing he's disappearing at some point during the summertime, unless he signs a pro deal before then. I'm just going to continue to be the opposite of everybody just for fun at this point. Darren's teams, tend to funnel goals into one specific spot, over and over and over again. I think we had Bolaños get to 6 and Bentley get to 6, even in, our top year as, second scorers. And I think Neil got to maybe 6 last year by the end of it, but he had also picked up the penalties by that point. So I'm going to go under on that just because based off of what we've seen in the past, if it's not the center forward, which is almost certainly going to be Emmy, barring disaster, the goals get peppered throughout the rest of the team rather than there really being one or two other primary scorers.
Right. This is the one I've decided to add, but over under 4 points, so a win and a tie, in the Henny Derby.
That's an under, unfortunately.
How many this season? 2 or 3?
2.
We play him twice.
I'll go 3. I'll go under. Okay. The only one I care about is July 3rd. That's it.
Just to give reference to what Elliot said there, July 3rd will be a nationally televised game by CBS Sports Network, 8 p.m. start. I think it's cool that they gave that to us. I mean, I feel like it's a reward for like the highest attendance, and I think they're going to make the atmosphere look really cool on CBS, hopefully. And so pretty pumped for that. What you got, Kate?
I'm going to go under as well, just because I don't see getting the double on most teams, getting a positive double on over most teams this season.
I'm hoping Madison implodes.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, and just for the sake of being the opposite, I'm going to take the over.
That's good.
You're going over 4, so you think we're winning both of them?
Yeah, I'm going to say let's get 2 wins. Yeah, Kate, unless you have some you'd like to add, this is the last one. Is there any that you've thought of?
You guys were very thorough.
Okay, we'll do this last one. Matt, this is a good one. Over under 1.5 wins by more than one goal.
So I went back and checked. We had 2 last year.
Wow.
I'll take the over.
Okay.
Bill Hart, Sarakowski, do me justice. For the love of God.
Kate?
I'm going to take the under. We scored.
What happened to all this positivity you had earlier, Kate?
I think we're going to grind out a lot of 1-0s or 2-1s.
It's true.
We scored. I didn't even do that during preseason once. We did it against the amateur team.
I'm gonna take the over.
There you go.
And Matt, what you got?
I should take the over on this one. I think they'll find a couple, their wins, and you'll be able to, push an extra goal over the top, on there. So I'll take the over on this one.
Okay. Well, it's set in stone via Google Docs. Elliot, the one I'm missing from you is over under 4 red cards on Max Taka and Ani. What'd you have there?
Oh, you said over on that one.
Yeah, I said over. Yeah.
All right, I missed it. Nice. Okay.
All right, so wrap up. We just do our league predictions, where we think we're going to finish in the league. So, ceiling and floor, how we think we're going to do. In the league, what is the ceiling and floor for this team? Me, personally, I got 6th place. What about y'all?
For your ceiling or for your floor?
God. Can I say both?
So you're just locking in 6th place no matter what.
I got 6. The ceiling for this team, 4th place. I think the floor is 9th. I'll go anywhere between that. What about y'all?
I think.
Okay, go ahead, Kate.
Yeah. I think. So my main concern is that Fuego hired a real coach, so we don't have 12th locked in anymore in the league. So I know I'm in my positive era, but I have to say the floor is 12th. But on the other hand, I think the ceiling maybe.
Say it.
7.
Oh.
7? All right.
The possibility to get out a playoff spot is there.
I thought you were going to go full extremes of like, but we could finish first.
That's what we had to walk and die in these predictions with going. We were like, it is going to be first, or they can finish last.
Yeah, it's a coward's way out.
I was in England the year Leicester City won the title, so I have seen it. I have seen it happen, but unfortunately. I mean, as Emmy enters Jamie Vardy era, I don't know if I see it.
Yeah. I think the ceiling for this team's probably 5th. Like, I don't see them getting to a spot where they're, getting a home playoff game, unfortunately. But I think if everything aligns right, they can be a perfectly, solid team that can knock off the good teams. On a given day, but some of these teams, they loaded up in the USL one level, loaded up in the off season. So I'd be very surprised if we get into that top 4 this year. I think the floor is that second half of last year carries into this year, and we're anchored at the bottom for everything. But I think my real prediction is 10th.
Okay.
For me, my prediction was 7th, but I could see them finishing as high as 6th and as low as 11th again, sadly. The stat that just keeps coming back is that 22 points from winning positions. Yeah. They would have comfortably been in the playoffs last year had they won most of those games. And so hoping that, they could just put together a full 90 and win more often.
Yeah, but even with that stat, like, we stole some points back, in some games last year, like that North Carolina game at home, we stole a point away. The Greenville away, where we were down 2-0, came back, the game that Luke scored. you know, I think, you know, Charlotte at home, you know, we, you know, came back, got a point, you know, out of there after going down early. So
that's,
I hear what you're saying. And yes, that was a massive problem last year, but you can't disregard, you know, the other side of, like, you know, I think with both Lexington and Knoxville, like, our last couple points last year were technically come from behind after we blew an early lead.
Yeah. We'll see. I also just think about this part as well. Like, we have more mobile forwards than we did last year. Like, I would like to think that Bill Hart and Sarakowski are a little bit more mobile than Belmar and Gordon.
Well, Sarakowski was here last year, so unless you think
more. He scored three in the short reign that he was here, so I'm hooking my hat on that. Like, yeah. So we'll see. All right. Well, considering that most of half the pod doesn't think playoffs are a realistic thing, I'll just leave it like this. Do you think this team, if they do get into playoffs, will they make a deep run?
Anything can happen.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, anything can happen. Here's the thing. If they get hot at the right time, then you could see it, right?
Yeah.
It's three games, isn't it? It's a stupid way to decide the title, in my opinion, but that's the way they decide the title. It's three games. Crazier things have happened than a bang average team winning the playoffs.
Yeah.
We do have loads of guys who are on an absolute garbage ass average team that won the playoffs before. So
2022 is perfect example. They got hot at the right time.
Well, that was a joke. We signed like half that team now.
So I mean that playoffs, but okay. So now the new in-season tournament. I think I'm gonna put it like this. The floor for this team is finishing dead last in our group. Not even being close to doing it. The ceiling, I think we can make it to the final. And as stupid enough as that seems, I think this in-season tournament kind of works to the advantage of the Kickers, which is weird.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the Tormenta game yesterday.
Yeah. And
was pretty unimpressed by them. And so I don't think we finished last in our group. And if we have a couple of good games on the road against Charlotte and Greenville also, you know, is with a new coach. And, you know, we've beaten them, you know, didn't lose to them on the road last year. So perhaps there's something to be said about that. So I think there's certainly we definitely won't get that fourth spot. Definitely have to win the group. That fourth spot being whoever scores the most goals.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically, I can't imagine a world where we're getting the wild card.
No.
So it's win or go home, basically. No way to predict how these games are going to look, or teams going to, you know, just treat it like a regular season game, or, you know, going to go into rotation. Like, no clue of how this is going to actually play out in actuality. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if you think they can make the final, surely you think they can win it then, because that's just one game at that point.
Yeah. I think they're good enough to get to the final. I think, like, if they can get through, like, and maybe that's the thing, like, maybe this team, if they look at every game as a one-off final, let's have hope. Kate, did you give yours yet?
No, I don't think. If the metric is scoring goals, this is a tournament tailor-made for the Kickers to crash out early. So unless Ryan decides to do what he's never done before and change how he sets up his team, I think that meant just if they can't do it against college kids, I don't see it happening against league opposition. Everyone's trying to you get one Shield winner, you get one tournament leader, a tournament winner, and you get one playoff winner. So I think everybody's saying we might as well give this one a go, and everybody else seems to score a lot more goals than we do. So
yeah, all right. And last but not least, I think the cup that we're kind of excited for, U.S. Open Cup. For those who don't know, there's a U.S. Open Cup game next Wednesday. We play a old rival, but a team that's gave us trouble back in 2017, Crystals FC. We'll be playing them soon. So how far do you think this Richmond Kickers team go in the cup? Or, not how far they go, but how many games do you think they will win?
I think we get to the third game. So I think that's when like championship teams come in, and I'm guessing that's probably where we end up crashing out.
Yeah.
They've tiered things differently, because everybody who plays in the first round will play another first round winner in the second round, but then I don't remember exactly how that's going to funnel into the third round right now.
Yeah, me neither. I think they win two games and then go out in the third. I agree with that, man. I think that's not a bad prediction.
I'm right there with you.
Yep.
Yeah, I think we're all there. So I'm just going to say, I feel like the overall tone for this team is kind of meh. Like, it's kind of like the offseason. There's nothing really to get your hopes high. We don't really have the excitement. Preseason was kind of meh as well, but hopefully things will change. And the Kickers prove us wrong. I mean, we're always going to root for the boys, but right now it just feels like, all right, I got to see it to believe it. I feel like it.
With the way last year finished, we don't have any – like, there's no reason for us to think, based on most of the signings, that this year will be anything better than, like, an eighth place, seventh place, So, like,
yeah.
I'm right there with you. I hope – prove us wrong. That's my hope.
Yeah.
Goals at home.
We got to get back to making City Stadium a fortress. Like, three wins total. I'm not gonna lie, like, that's been Darren Strong's suit, is having like a good home record. I think 2022 may have been his best away record. He's been all right on the road, but at home, he's been really strong, like one of the better performing teams at home. And we got to get back to that. Like, the amount of times teams was just take relish in celebrating a section O. Like, I need one of those red cards, over under predictions to happen if a team decides to celebrate in City State in front of section O. But we just got to make City Stadium a fortress again. Like, we got to make it tough for teams to come in there, let alone score or win. Like, and this team got to be tougher, have a better mind state, like, just getting over the hump, If there's a floor rate, the creativity is going to happen, but yeah. Any last things for y'all before we wrap up the show? This has been a long one, but this is a preseason prediction as well, so it's going to be long. Game's all good. Kate, is the Oscars started yet, or are they still?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ryan Gosling is on stage performing Just Ken as we speak.
Ah, okay, that's fun. Matt, any last words from you before we wrap up the show, bud?
No, I think we hit everything. I'm sure there's probably something blatantly obvious that we forgot to talk about, but oh well.
Well, the away jersey comes out tomorrow as well, so we get to see what this Power Ranger icon looks like.
Oh, have we actually mentioned that well done on the team? Nice, simple, red uniform.
Well, we mentioned earlier, me and Gabe both got it on,
Yeah, I don't think we've actually, talked it, though. Like,
no.
Very good example of you don't need to put every bell and whistle on a jersey to make it look nice and to have people like it.
Yeah. Yeah, no. That's what some of what Twitterverse was saying, just like, oh, it's just a red jersey. We were like, yeah, that's what we want.
All we want.
That's all we care about. We don't care about anything. We just want red.
Yeah.
So yeah, And there's a rumor, there's a third kid coming out as well, but I think that's more so towards the summer. So we might get that maybe like in June. But yeah, this is the last year with Adidas. I think there's a scoreboard coming around May-ish, June-ish time. So everything outside is going up and well. We just hope the play on the field is going well. But I think with that being said, guys, I just want to say thank y'all. It's been a long pod, but we look forward to doing these, getting back into the flow. Hopefully the next podcast we do will be a positive one where we play Spokane. And, God, I do not want to be talking about a 3-0 loss. I really want a win. Really want a win to start things off right. Kind of shut up all the noise around this team and just do the right thing. So with that being said, listeners, we just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your day for listening to our podcast. Remember to like, share, and subscribe. And with that being said, we will holler at you guys next week. Be easy and be safe.